When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello, beautiful human. Thanks for letting us into your ears today. We are about to catch up with Eben. He has a brand new project out now. It is called Dandelions. We're going to go through all of it. He also made a movie to support this thing, so we have a lot to discuss. But first, please share this podcast with those you care about, hit subscribe, and let us know who we should talk to next at Zach Sang Show on any form of social media. Hello, beautiful human. I'm Zach. That's Dan, and we welcome back to the studio, Eben.
Hey, hi guys. I missed you.
Yeah, missed you too. I did see you fairly recently.
Yeah,
I ran into you at a party, Tana Mojo's birthday party.
Yeah, that was a fun one.
Yeah, I went because I was feeling lonely and sad, so I was like, okay, I guess I'll go.
Yeah, but did it make you happier?
No.
Oh.
not at all. Really, it was really. Oh no, I'm kidding. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah, it was. It was dope.
You go to parties all the time. You're very cool.
You said it. I didn't say that.
Well, I
like to think I'm cool. Thank you.
How does one determine if they're cool or not? Is that like a? But does it start from within? Is it like something that you need to believe?
It's a self-confidence. I don't think you can. I think being cool is your own. It's being the full part of just yourself. Like, I don't compare. I try not to compare myself to other people. Like, I just try and be myself and be confident. And like, if you think you're cool and you feel cool, then you're cool. Like, who cares?
Easier said than done. Not comparing
absolutely.
Yourself, though.
Yeah, 100%. That's like an unrealistic like way of living life, because you know it's human nature to always compare yourself to other people. But as long as you're consciously like trying to stay in a mindset of not doing that, you know, I think that's a healthy thing.
When you're at a party like Tana Mojo's birthday, are you looking around, seeing who else is there? Are you in a state of comparison, or do you have to like try to exude cool?
I mean, I was just glad to see a bunch of my friends that I hadn't seen in a long time. It was like cool to meet people that I haven't met before, but I was just enjoying myself. My mind doesn't really go there.
What do you think of these Hollywood parties? What are your thoughts on them?
Jesus. I mean, they're fun, but like, you know, it's they're awesome. Like, they're fun and it's cool, but you know, they're like, each one's the same. Like,
yes,
you know, they're very similar. But like, I have a good time. Like, it kind of depends on like who you go with. Like, if you go with a group of friends that you know you're gonna have a good time with, like, it doesn't matter where you're at. You could be at Walmart in Burbank and have the time of your life.
Yeah, but that's also what makes the parties really uniquely hard, because when people travel with their groups, they just stay within their groups. And a party is like when people mingle and you become friends with people that you never thought you'd become friends with.
This is how I handle like a LA party, right? Like, I'll go with my group of friends, you know, have a couple drinks, we'll loosen up, start, you know, just we're moving and grooving, right?
Okay.
And then I'll just start floating around to all my other like little, they're, you know, because you're right, everyone will be like in their little pockets, right? So, you know, I'll just make my way around and say hi and be like, hey guys, like, what's up, it's Eben, nice to see y'all, and
wow,
hi, I'm Eben, nice to meet you, you know,
shake some hands,
and they're like Eben, I'm like, no.
We can go with that though.
Yeah, sure, whatever you want to call me at this point is fine. But yeah, and then I eventually make it back home to my OG squad.
Got it. Wow. You
know, yeah. I don't know. LA parties are fun, like, especially like being a kid from Ohio, like, because it's all that you see on, you know, from social media and just like TV, and like you hear people talk about it. But then like when you experience it, it's like, holy, like, this, it's not real. Like, it's not real life. Like, these parties are not real life.
That is accurate.
I mean, they're real life for such a hyper-focused small percentage of society, you know, like, it's such a small percentage, but in the grand scheme of things, it's not like reality, you know. But I still have fun at them. Like, it's still a good time, but you know, I think it's important to understand that aspect of it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. No, you're right.
You ever make any useful connections, like people you actually will then go and work with after meeting them at a party?
Absolutely. I think we met at the Troubadour. Or did we meet before the Troubadour?
I don't remember.
We were both sauced at the Troubadour.
Yeah. Who was performing that
I think
day?
It was Spencer Sutherland.
Oh, probably.
Who was it? That's not good. I don't even remember.
Wow, guys.
It's been a while.
Memorable
night,
been
a long
huh?
time. Yeah, very, had a great time. but yeah, no, 100%. Like, I've definitely met individuals at, you know, shindigs where, you know, good, healthy business relationships have blossomed from it, for sure.
You can make, not like, friends, I think, is the wrong term. You can,
Well, you can make friends, but it is a, you know, you just have to find the right people, and that's so hard, you know, but, you know, acquaintances and people who, you know, you both can benefit from the relationship, I guess, in a sense, you know, not like you're using someone, but it's just a mutual, like, benefit to whatever you guys are wanting to do.
See, I like that you go with groups. There's been moments where I've gone to, like, crazy Hollywood parties, and I've gone alone. Nothing is scarier than
alone.
That.
I'll go alone to a bar.
Oh, yeah.
I make a lot of friends at bars. It's so fun.
You know what? I've made a lot of friends alone at Hollywood parties that you would not expect in a million years.
That's dope. But it's a beautiful thing. If you can go, if you're, yeah, there are sides to it for sure.
It's really stressful leading up to it. And then once you dive in alone and you're like, oh, okay, I'm treading water. I'm not swimming.
We're trying to stay alive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, yeah, it's something.
It's something. But yeah, that Tana party was so fun. That was a good time.
Yeah, I didn't go to that alone. That was just insane.
It was nuts, dude. Like, but the view from the house was crazy. I was like, whoa.
Apparently owned by like a bunch of kids who made a bunch of money in crypto. Like a crazy house.
Dude, I got f***ed on my Dogecoin.
Yeah.
I got railed. I didn't sell. And I'm just, you know, eating it every day.
It's going down like a penny or two every day. And I'm like, I'll turn around.
Yeah, no, it's not. Not until Elon, you know, brings it back. Like, please, brother.
He tanked it before I got on SNL.
Bro, I know. Because I thought that he was going to go on there and be like, you know, lifted up to the heavens.
Moon, yeah.
But he goes on and is like, it's a joke. Yeah. And I'm like, what the f***, dude? You can't, what? Like, on SNL, when everyone, it was all, you know, all over. He's going to blow up Dogecoin. Watch. Get ready to sell. It's going to be crazy. Me, Corbin, like Jonah, we're all just like, all right, we're ready, dude. Like, we are about to make so much money. Nothing. I've lost. Yeah. It's really sad. It's tough. My crypto ventures are definitely done with for a good while.
Yeah.
Yeah. No more.
Oh, God. You look shook, dude.
It's up, dude. Like, I'm really hurt. I'm like really hurt by it. It's
You feel like Elon did you wrong?
I don't think he did the community as a whole wrong. You know, it's like, brother, why?
A lot of people thought they were going to get rich, and it didn't happen.
Oh yeah, I threw my eggs into the wrong basket. My eggs are they? He took my basket and threw it. And then all the eggs are just cracked, like, everywhere. And then I have to clean it up. Yeah. But I don't want to clean it up, so I'm just leaving it there. Hopefully that one day Elon will come and clean it up for me so that my eggs are back in my basket.
God.
Yeah.
But it's you know, that's a stretch.
Dude, we need to clean that up yourself. But, you know, you're not alone. I have a couple friends that decided on the Saturday Night Live day, because they thought it was going to be so big, that they chose to like double down and put an extra few grand in there.
My little brother did that.
And bought it at like 67, 69 cents, something stupid.
Oh, you fools.
And then they...
The graph went from here to up.
Yep.
Now it's just digging deeper into the ground. Like, it hit the ground, and now it's just digging, like, to the core of the earth, and it's really sad.
But you're sticking with it. You're not... You could have gotten rid of it.
Well, because I don't want it to jump, say, all right, say in, like, 2 years or whatever, I'm just pulling this out of my ass, like, it jumps up to, like, $1.50 for whatever reason, and then I'm going to sit there and be like...
Even worse than you are right now.
I don't even know how I could continue. Like, it would eat me to the core. Like, I just... So I'm sitting on my amount of shares that I have and just hoping that Papa,
you have a lot of
Papa
Doge,
Elon,
don't you? Yes.
Oh my God, it's so low.
Like what?
What is it at right now? It's like 30s.
What do you think it is?
Oh, I don't even want to guess. It's depressing.
It's 17 cents.
Wow. Oh, damn.
It was up to like 70, 80 cents at one point.
Don't buy crypto. It's yeah, good times. Anyway. I'm not like a stockbroker, obviously. I have no idea what I'm doing.
You really can only play with what you can stand to lose.
Yeah.
You know, you gotta apply the gambling rules to this unless you got real money.
Mm-hmm.
And last I heard, you just got a new car fairly recently. You know, like your last one like caught on fire.
Bro, it's, you know.
That was you.
Yeah, that was me.
Yeah, it was like, it
was my Fiat 500.
Right, didn't you see it burning from your window?
So my neighbors did. Like, it was like 4 a.m, and like the dogs were like going crazy in their house, and like, you know, their dogs like never do that at 4 a.m, and they look outside, and we had these, you know, the big, tall, like privacy, like pine tree kind of things, and you know, it was middle of the summer, so it's freaking hot, and it was in North Hollywood, so it's cooking. And this lady just went around, like, just within the block, like, area, set our trees on fire, and the neighbors look out, and it's just like a inferno, like crazy, and it just melted the whole back of my car down. Like, I the insurance gave me more for the car than I paid for it, so that was a vibe.
Sick. You got like a Jetta, right, or something?
I snagged a 2009 Volkswagen CC, and I called it the boat.
That's it.
Because it drove like a boat. And that is one of my favorite cars ever. It was such a dad car. Like, you know, looking at it, you just know that there's golf clubs in the back. Yeah. Like, I loved that car. And then, Jesus, my little brother was in town, and we went to a dispensary. And in the parking lot, turned the car on. The whole engine starts shaking. Like, the car is going like this. I'm like, this is not right. We're looking at each other like, like, whoa, what is happening? The engine blows in the parking lot. It was so sad. So like literally the workers from inside the dispensary had to come out. We had to push my car onto the street. I had to get a tow truck. It was a whole thing. And you know, but I had been, you know, saving up for just like trying to be wise with my money and everything so that in case some catastrophic, because I have car issues, obviously.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
It follows me.
You don't deserve a good set of wheels, or do you?
Obviously not.
Have you gotten something?
I did. I was able to. I went and got a Lexus.
Whoa.
And got a fantastic lease. I did not buy it. I'm not out here like that. I'm a common folk individual.
I love leasing cars.
It's fantastic. It. You know, my mom was like, "You need to buy a car." Like, you know, blah blah blah. And I was like, why? This is like it's like an iPhone upgrade plan, like, but just for cars. Like, you get a new one. Like, it's that sounds fantastic to me.
Great comparison.
So I did that, and I haven't looked back. I love it. I love my car. It turns on when I need it to turn on. Like, the radio works. Like, it's awesome, dude. It's so great. Like, the AC always works. Like, I love it. Thanks, Lexus, for hooking it up. You're the best.
They did nothing special for you. They just leased you a car.
No, they didn't do anything specifically for me. They were just trying to get some business. So, yeah. But thank you. If you see this and want to hook it up on the next go round, I'll stick with it. You know, a shameless, you know, reach for a free car.
You deserve a car that works. I'm just glad.
I appreciate that. I feel like I went through enough like trials and like just turmoil with that whole situation to finally get to this point in my life where I can have a car that works and it's awesome. I feel so excited every time I get in it.
Well, I was gonna ask if the Mustang in the movie was yours, but I assume it wasn't.
Oh, dude, no, it was not. Unfortunately, well, fortunately, it was not. Driving that thing was terrifying. Like, the brakes didn't work.
Oh,
like,
great.
Like, you had to. I had to put my whole body weight, like, all the way down, like a half mile before I want to slow down. Like, it was insane. Like, it was, but it was so cool though. Like, I always wanted to drive like a classic Mustang, and I was finally able to do it, but it was terrifying.
Let's dive into this because it's a full freaking movie.
it's a whole situation.
Why did this project deserve a movie?
Because I wanted to find a way to have myself stick out. You know, release plans and rollouts are, you know, a lot of them are very similar in a way. You know, everyone definitely puts their own spin on their own, you know, rollout because, like, they're the artist, you know. But I was like, man, what is something that is going to perk everyone's ears up and eyes just visually? Because I had a lot of great momentum going before the pandemic, you know, as did a lot of other artists, you know. I was, like, on track to do, like, my own tour and everything and blah, blah, blah. And then, obviously, COVID hits. Can't do all that, you know. So it's, like, lost a lot of momentum in that sense. So I wanted to do something just, like, completely, like, wild and something super unexpected. And when me and Evan, or Evan and I, for you grammar geeks out there, Evan and I, we sat down and I called him. I was like, bro, like, I want to do something wild. And, like, I know you can, like, pull this off. Like, I didn't really know what it was yet, but I was like, I want all the music videos to go together, you know, and it create this story. And then he came over and we just sat down and talked for like 6-7 hours. We were just in my studio, just like ideas running and running. We would play the EP back over and over again, like trying to figure out what the storyline would be, you know, with the music, because the music side of it, it is, the whole EP is kind of the different stages you go through during a breakup, yeah, during a crazy breakup, right? And I really wanted to visually show that, you know, in a super, super unique way. And in a way where it's like, it's unique, but it's not like too much. You know, like, it's not like a 45-minute, like, fucking thing. You know, like, that's a lot. And even, you know, because people's attention span, especially nowadays, is, like, super short. So it's like, we're even taking a risk in that sense, you know, because we already know not a lot of people are going to sit down and want to watch a 20-minute freaking thing, you know?
But once you try,
but I don't care. I was like, I don't care. Like, I want to do this. I want this to be the look that we have, like, coming out of the pandemic and everything, like, we're gung-ho, like, we're going strong, like, things are rolling, and it's, you know, it's cool, unique, and exciting, and yeah.
I mean, I got hooked by watching it. Like, I didn't want to, like, tap out of it.
Dope. That makes me happy. It's so awesome. Guys, watch this. It's so fire. Like, it actually is dope. Like, I'm so proud of it.
It really does help you understand the album, because when I listen to albums, I'm, like, not good at connecting all the songs, but after watching the movie, you fully understand how everything ties together.
Yeah, because and like, a lot of people aren't gonna, you know, really sit down and dive into the lyrics, you know. A lot of it's just like, does this song make me feel good, you know? So to kind of back that up with something visual that, like, makes sense and really tells the story, you know, was such a big thing for me. And, like, that's why we pulled the trigger on the whole idea.
I mean, it had to be expensive. So are you afraid to ask your label for all this money to make a movie?
It was not nearly as expensive as you thought. Like, the label didn't think that we'd be able to do it for the amount of money we asked for. Sick. Like, we, and with that being said, like, me and Evan wanted to show that you can do incredible without spending hundreds of thousands of dollars on stuff. Not that that's wrong, like, you can do that, but we want to, like, make a point where it's like, yo, you can still make larger than life that feels unreal with, you know, and you don't have to spend a stupid amount of money for it, you know. And the label was so surprised. Like, when we sent it to them, they were like, oh, like, what? Okay. Like, we want to kind of, like, flip the switch on the way that they think about things, you know what I mean? And, like, go about, like, different projects and kind of start this new wave of, like, I don't even know what I'm trying to say, but, you know, this new wave of finishing projects and getting it done. And you could, in that, you don't have to spend, like, all this money, you
know? You get something really meaningful out of it. And
yeah,
it's, I mean, dude, it's a lot of content and it flows really well.
Yeah.
You tell a real story.
Yeah.
So, I mean, Jenny, is this a real person for you?
No, she is a real person for Forrest, though, for Forrest Gump. She is not a real person for me. That
I know
is,
that, but, like, are you thinking about somebody in that position?
I mean, you know,
the Forrest Gump shout out in the lyrics.
Yeah, like, we wanted to, like, there are definite, you know, emotions that I brought in from past relationships and everything, but this, you know, the specific story itself, you know, we kind of just created it for the record.
Got it.
And in the session, it was just so random. Like we were, for some reason, I think it was Danny from Some Randoms, producer duo. He had like just watched Forrest Gump, and we were just trying to figure out what we wanted to write about and everything. And he was like, "You guys ever think about how like fucked up Jenny was to Forrest?" And I was like, "Oh, yeah, like wow, she really did him dirty," you know. And no one really like talks about that. So we were like, "All right, what's like a fun way that we can, you know, kind of like tell that story in a like fun, like quirky way?" And that's how Jenny came to life.
How does you wanting to talk about the stages of a breakup come to be?
So Jenny, in the story, that is like the initial like shock of everything, right? So it's in the EP. So Jenny is the initial shock factor of it, you know, like, holy shit, my girlfriend's cheating on me. I just caught her cheating, like blah, blah, blah. Then it goes into this song called I Miss You, which is, you know, the reminiscing stage of things, where it's like, you know, you're lying in bed at night, just going through all the happy, good things and you know, trying to convince yourself like, nah, like this, like I should go back. Like, you know, she won't do it again, like blah, blah, blah. And after I Miss You, it goes into this song called New Springs, which is kind of the wanting to drink away and party away your problems to like forget about this person.
Have you broken a bed before? Is the answer yes?
Yes.
Wow.
Respectfully.
Nice.
Dan goes, nice. Oh my God.
Respectfully broken.
With the most respect to that bed, it was broken. Anyway,
damn.
Moving into, so out of New Springs, out of that stage of things, you know, it goes into the song Dandelions, which is all about, you know, kind of the special connection that you have with someone when, you know, you share like that experience with a person. Like to me, you know, like one of my love languages is like just physical touch, you know, and Dandelions is about, you know, just that special connection that you can have with someone, you know, through that.
How and why is you as an astronaut on a foreign planet the right way to tell that story?
Because the whole idea is I'm going into different layers of my subconscious. So it starts out with Jenny, and that's when I throw the watch on, right?
And that's why the watch has the different numbers.
Exactly. God. So one is, you know, Jenny, and then it goes into, you know, I Miss You. Mm-hmm. And then it goes into, you know, New Spring. And that's, it's showing like the different, like peeling back the different layers, you know, and just falling deeper and deeper into yourself and just your thoughts and just going through this whole thing, trying to deal with the shock of it, trying to understand why this would happen to you, understand like, okay, can I ever be happy again? You know, is this something that I'll be able to move on from one day, you know? And after Dandelions, it gets to the song Love Again. And Love Again is coming to the realization that you appreciate everything that you learned from that past relationship and that there are benefits and, you know, things that you can take from that and that you're in a place to open yourself back up to somebody new. You know what I mean? And that's like Love Again. It's like, I want to feel what I felt
with that person,
but with someone new.
Yeah. That's a great line.
Thank you. Appreciate that.
So do you start by knowing what story you want to tell with the EP and then you go from there? Or do you just start by making songs that matter to you in the moment and then it presents itself?
Yeah, it's kind of like a lot of it was, you know, songs that mattered to me in the moment. But with that, you know, when you're just making records and everything, you're usually just like in a specific mindset. Like, and so in a way, it will kind of all be cohesive without you even trying to make it cohesive. You know what I mean? Like the storytelling of everything. But when I chose the records for the EP, I was like really sitting down, just thinking about it. I was like, okay, like this really does like tell a story. Like I was like, oh, what did I do? You know? And it just kind of came out of nowhere. Like it was unexpected, but I was just sitting there and it all like clicked in my head. And, you know, that's when, like, I hit Evan and was like, yo, like, help me piece this together. Like, let's visually make this something amazing. And, like, Evan Hera is the person to do that, along with Brandon Phillips, my he was a cinematographer and colorist on the project.
It looked great.
Yeah, it looks, oh my God. Yeah, they are animals, dude. Like, Brandon Phillips and Evan Hera, I love you guys. You are my family. Like, they're the best.
We did the special effects, because they're pretty crazy, too.
So we got, Evan found the special effects guys. One of them was from, for the Dandelions, like cartoons and everything. Mm-hmm. She was from Japan.
Wow.
And this other guy who did like the flying car scenes and everything, I am not sure where he is from, but he is extremely talented and delivered like above and beyond.
Did you actually like film in a desert for you in a spacesuit?
Yeah. Oh, that was the worst day like ever.
Yeah, because it was hot.
And all, well, it had nothing to do with the weather. It was all about the logistics. So Evan was in charge, you know, he's like, okay, guys, this is where we're going. We're going to the Pinnacles National Park. It's going to be crazy. I'm like, sick. Let's do it. We're leaving in the morning, right? And we were going to ride in my buddy Tim's car, who was one of the producers of the movie. And I was like, well, let's just take my car because I just like to drive. Like,
yeah,
I just genuinely
car.
Enjoy driving, especially when I have a new baby. You That's know, I'm just like, I'll take any excuse to drive. And so we switched cars, and he had like a Jeep, like a proper like off-road like situation, right?
Oh.
So no, we decided to take the Lexus. Didn't know that it's all off-road out there.
Yeah, it's
Evan knew
insane.
This. Evan knew this. But like when we were leaving, he was like, "Oh, you guys changed cars?" We were like, "Yeah." He was like, "Oh, okay." Wasn't like, "Yo, get back in the Jeep because it's going to be a show." Out in the middle of nowhere, like, and so we get out there, and Apple Maps takes us this certain way, and we are stuck. We can't go any farther because there's like a military base, and they are like, it's like a fighter jets flying all over the place. Like, we got out of the cars, and we're like, holy, this is crazy, but we couldn't go to where we needed to go. Like, we had to drive through this military base, but obviously you can't do that. Like. And so we had to take this route, bro. It took 6 hours of driving, like 5 miles an hour. We're getting out of the car. I'm moving rocks so that like my car doesn't get like it got. It was brutal. And we had the extra in it who was in the spacesuit.
Yeah.
She rode with Tim and I. Not knowing, we didn't know that this was gonna be like one of the worst days like ever. You know what I mean? Like, so she's just sitting in the back like. And I'm every 10 minutes, I'm like, I'm so sorry. Like, I had no idea. Like, you know, we're all just like, oh, my God, we're never going to get there. And finally, we make it. We make it there. My car got stuck on train tracks. Like, it was crazy, bro. Like, I can't.
You shot that whole thing in a day?
We shot, yeah, just those desert shots were shot in a day. And we literally shot for, like, 20 minutes.
That's it?
Yeah.
And
it looked good.
It is so worth it. Like, I'm not complaining. I'm just expressing what happened during the day. You know, it was just, it was a crazy day. Like, but I'll always appreciate the experience. You know, it was so cool. Like, I'd never been to a place like that. It literally looks like it was Mars.
That's
like, oh, fun fact. When, you know, the shots of me like running up the rocks and everything, yeah. That wasn't me. Because I was so far behind trying to drive there in my car. That was Brandon in the spacesuit.
What?
Until I got there. So he had to get out of the spacesuit.
Oh my God.
And then I got in. And then, you know, obviously, yeah. Like, finished up the shots. And then right after that, so I was there for, like, 25 minutes. And then we had to drive back. But the way back, we used Google Maps.
Oh, much better.
Which took us the way to the highway that we were supposed to take. And, you know... It was wild.
You should never trust Apple Maps. Even Apple will tell you not to trust Apple Maps.
Yeah, what's that about?
Was Martian Girl, the girl who came with you, was she annoyed with you guys, or was she like on
no,
board?
No, she was a team player, dude. Like, and I'm so thankful for that because she definitely could. I would have totally understood if she threw a fit. Like, yeah. I was pissed. I was like, this is crazy. Like, my car is getting fucked up. Like, you know, and it just took 6 hours of like it was just wild. It was fun. It was fun, but next time I go, I definitely want like an off-road vehicle type situation.
Yeah, like a Jeep maybe?
Yeah, like a Jeep.
Like a Jeep.
Crazy,
like
right?
Like the car you're supposed to take.
Yeah, exactly. But it was so fun though. That day was wild. That day was nuts.
How are these songs starting for you? Are you coming in just wanting to talk about something? Are you just sitting in a studio just figuring it out with whoever you're in the studio with?
Yeah, I mean, most sessions, like, a lot of it is, I love to start my sessions just like an hour of just like us talking, you know, especially if it's like a new producer or something, you know, like you have to get to know the person and, you know, catch a vibe and everything. But a lot of these songs, like, I had already worked with the producers like before, and we already had fantastic relationships like this, you know, we're all homies. And so going into it, you know, they were like, so what's going on? Like, you know, let's just talk. A lot of it's just, let's just talk about life, like what's happening, you know? And then, whatever that is, you know, we'll go in and be like, oh, that's a dope. Like, let's talk about that. Let's build around that idea. And then from that idea, it blossoms into a full record.
And then in this case, a movie.
And in this case, yeah, a short cinematic piece of gold.
Were the songs and the movie created together, or did you have a whole EP done and then move on to the movie?
I had the EP finished and then moved on to the movie. Because I had picked out the songs and like kind of saw the storyline in a way. And then, you know, Evan came in and he really went in and like made it a cohesive like thing. But I love that because it's just me and my best friends. Like, we just came up with the whole idea. And then we were like, well, hope the label fucks with this idea and trust us, like, with this amount of money, you know, to, like, create something, like, worthwhile, you know?
By the way, if you want to watch or listen to Dandelions, there's a link in the description below. It's, like, right down there. You're making a movie. There's an EP here, 5 songs. It's called Dandelions. What does that mean? What does that flower represent?
It's a weed, not a flower.
You're right.
Okay.
Oh.
Sorry. All right.
Sorry.
Calm down. Sorry. It's a beautiful flower, all right?
Sorry.
God damn, Dan. I'm coming in hot over here.
Sorry.
It's okay. I'm just with you. I don't know. Like, one, dandelions is just a cool, like, word. Yeah. You know, that really was the... That was the selling point for me, you know? I was just like, because my last EP was called Honeydew, you know? Mm-hmm. And kind of goes along with that fruit, like flower, earthy, like vibe, you know? So I was like, oh, dandelions. It just feels right. It just makes sense. And I feel like it'll, you know, it like sticks out. It's just a unique, like cool thing.
And now
now it's what it is now. And
it's
like,
the title of everything.
It's the title of everything. It's wild. Yeah. I didn't know like that this was going to, like when me, because I made the song with Jacob Atwell and Maya Johnson for like a long time ago, you know, before the pandemic hit. But yeah, I had no idea that record would blossom into what this is now, you know?
You look good in pearls.
I love the pearls. I love the pearl vibe. But I need to figure out what's new because now everyone wears pearls.
That is correct.
Like, I hopped on it, like, right before everyone in L.A. was wearing pearls. Now everyone... Like, so Harry Styles, like, yes. He was the inspiration. I saw him in pearls, and I was like, that's so hard. Like, those look super dope. And found some pearls, and now everybody freaking wears pearls. So I need to figure out what the next trend is.
Yeah, you gotta
to
get in there
to lead,
like,
the way, you
that's
know?
It you need to be cutting edge,
yeah,
on the cusp, even that, like a little
constantly.
Bit before the cusp.
We it's our duty to create the cusp.
That's it.
We're cusp creators.
That's correct. So like, what do you, maybe like slap bracelets, what are you gonna go with?
Bring those back, that'd be hilarious.
Yeah, dude.
I really don't know. We should get into that though. That's a whole other conversation, you know?
My friend gave me half of a best friend bracelet that we made out of beads. It's a pretty cool look. I'm not wearing it today, but...
Are they still your best friend?
Oh, yeah, of course.
Well, fine. I don't know, because you're not wearing the bracelet.
You're right.
Just kidding.
You can borrow this necklace if you want.
I love that necklace. It kind of goes.
Don't say that.
Should wear every day.
I'm thinking about it.
It's absolutely terrible.
Why, what do you? What did it do to you?
It's an eyesore, dude. It's a distraction.
If anything, I'm locked into it.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm saying. Distraction. And also, I think his neck is going to turn green because it's definitely...
This is real gold, man.
No. It's fake gold or it's plastic at the best.
Why would you have to... You're going to have to do that to him.
Yeah. What do you mean don't have to do that? Be honest about the party city jewelry he has dangling from his neck.
Can't wear camo.
You can't wear fake chains now. Like, what is going on?
Yeah, if you're going to be on this show, you're going to at least wear real jewelry.
I do. These are actually, this one was my grandpa's, this one was my mom's, like, from the 80s. And they are real. And they're the only two things of gold that I have, and I didn't even buy them, so it's sick.
Is that a real pearl necklace?
I couldn't tell you, honestly. It looks like it, so.
That's all that matters.
I keep it together with a safety pin.
He actually shucked the clams himself.
No, I did. I went deep. I had to get scuba certified and the whole, it was a big thing, but yeah. But I keep them together with a safety pin right here.
You did the breathing exercises?
Had to. I had to pass the test.
Oh, man. Yeah.
Well, another question I wanted to ask about the movie is, you always have to have a Why Don't We member in there. Or you had two, right?
Yeah, I went larger than life and snagged two Why Don't We members to bring them into the mix.
I saw Jonah. Who else is in there?
So Jonah and Corbin. Yep. Yeah.
Corbin.
Yep. I had Jonah is the antagonist, and then Corbin is just a goofy character in the song New Springs. Well, and because me and Corbin wrote that song together too.
Oh, really?
So, yeah, so me and Corbin wrote New Springs together.
Oh.
Yeah.
Do you go to him and go, I broke the bed, we got to write about this?
Well, after the bed broke, I ran into his room, had a towel, I was like, yo.
Dude.
This is the vibe. Let's go.
You got to come check out what happened.
Yeah, you got to see this. No, that is not what happened. But we, my buddy Jacob Atwell, he produced Dandelions as well, but he sent over the beat for New Springs. And, you know, me and Corbin, we love writing like very similar things. And so I showed him the beat and I was like, yo, like let's write to this. And then we made New Springs. And then I added just my production, like sparkles of whatever onto there. And yeah, it's a dope song. It's such a fun record. Like it's such a fun song. I love it.
I never, like, I didn't know, like, it's weird. By the name, I would not have thought that it was about springs on a bed breaking.
Yeah, no one thinks that. That's why it's like so, it's funny because it's unexpected. And then when you listen to the lyrics, you're like, oh, whoa. They're not talking about spring. Like, you know,
I thought it was spring. Like, you know, the trees are blooming. You're onto this new world. Everything's happy.
No. He's breaking beds.
Yeah. Now I'm aware.
Yeah. You flipped the switch on it for the one time.
So another thing, is Jonah the guy that's making out with your girlfriend in the car? I couldn't tell. Yeah. The only reason I knew that is because I was looking through your tweets and I saw that you guys were tweeting at each other about it. And I went back and watched it and I can't even tell that it's him.
Yeah, like we wanted it to be unsure. You know, we wanted like the fans to be like, is that Jonah? You know what I mean? Like, and... So yeah, that's perfect that it did exactly what we wanted it to do. But dude, filming that with Jonah was so funny, dude. Oh my God. Like, cause we couldn't keep straight faces, like not to save our lives, dude. You know, I'm trying to perform to the camera. They're just making out in front of me, like, and every time I'd be like, all right, God, I can't do this. Like, this is so funny. And then especially in the fight scene. Oh, that was hilarious. Like the whole time we're tussling on the ground. We were laughing. We had to go in and dub in like all the, you know, the sounds and stuff because like Evan was like, guys, you have to like pull it together. We're like, not today, Chief. It's not going to happen. Like, I'm sorry. Like, so we, you know, a few days ago, Evan hits me. He's like, yo, I need you to like send me this. I was at LA Fitness working out. So I had to go outside, like, you know, do a voice memo of, what the fuck? What are you doing? Like, how could you do this to me? You know, people are looking at me like I'm fucking nuts. Like, you know, I'm sorry, I'm making a Dandelions film. I'm Eben. Go check me out. And yeah, so that was so, it was so fun, like having them there. Cause, you know, they're like, they're my brothers. So it was already a family affair, like with me, Brandon, and Evan, you know, just kind of leading the charge and everything. And then, yeah, especially having them be a part of it. It just made sense.
Do you consider yourself an actor now?
Well, I was an actor before I was a singer.
Oh.
Like, I did like professional theater. Like, I was a musical theater kid. Like, that's what I wanted to do before, you know, I kind of figured out what the music industry machine is. Because when I did American Idol, when I was 15, that's the first time I came out to L.A. And once I saw L.A., I was like, this is out here? Like, this place is real. Like, I love it here, you know? And I was like, one day, I'm going to make it out there. But yeah, I definitely want to get into acting again, 100%.
You have a movie under your belt?
Yeah, hopefully people like it. Hopefully we get a solid Rotten Tomatoes, you know, IMDb like score. And if we get that, then we're winning.
What do you feel like you're adding to music that just wasn't there before?
I feel like I'm adding just a unique way to tell your story and to roll out your music and everything, you know, because like going back to what I said before, you know, you see a lot of, you know, similar recycled rollout plans, right? And I was just like, I don't want to do that again, like, especially because, you know, the pandemic, like, we have to come out with a bang. Like, it has to be something where it makes me stand out, you know. And also I wanted to build a sense of just credibility, like, around, you know, my name and you know, for people to be like, oh, wow, like, he's an actual creative. Like, he can achieve things that, like, nobody expected him to be able to achieve. And I feel like I achieved that with Dandelions, you know, with kind of putting some respect on my name.
That's putting a good some respect point. On it, because you when know? You see these artists making these movies, you see, like, Halsey doing it, Machine Gun Kelly. So I was surprised to see an artist like you doing, which is actually really cool.
Yeah, because I'm not out here like that yet. You know what I mean? Like, I will be 100%. But, you know, it was kind of a calling card to all the other artists who are kind of like on my same level of like, guys, like, you don't have to just do it a certain way. You can do some crazy and not be a top 10 Billboard selling artist yet. You know what I mean? There's no rules to this. Like, you just do what you want. You think is fire. I mean, make sure that it's good, but, like, you know, you can do anything you want. It's all good. You don't have to do it a specific way every time.
What is success then for like, what is success for this project for you?
Success for this is the fact that it's coming out. That literally, like, I am so incredibly proud of this. I've never felt this strong about anything, like, in my career so far. I've finally built, like, my Ebon team around me. Like, I've built the relationships with Atlantic Records. Like, that is my family now. Like, and I've, you know, I have Evan and Brandon. And it's, you know, I've never really, you know, and my manager, Randy. Like, I've never felt like I've had such a tight-knit team before, and everything feels so good in the way that it should be. And it's like, I feel like I've kind of had that aha moment where I'm like, yes, like, we're in such a good place. Like, and I've never felt like that before, and it's really exciting. Like, I'm just always, like, super giddy about it, because, like, like, we did it. Like, we actually did it. Like, it's crazy. Like, I can't believe it.
So an EP, that's what you'd call this, right? It's not really an album.
Yeah, not an album. It's an EP.
Will there be another part to it, or
this
another
will
EP?
Be this is the stepping stone to the album.
Got it.
What I'm gonna drop next will be for the album. I don't want to get into too much of that, but the album's gonna be insane. I'm super excited about it. It's gonna be crazy.
Dandelions is what we have now.
Link that's right.
In the description below to listen and or watch the movie. What are you thinking?
Well, you said you had a lot of momentum leading into the pandemic. You had a tour booked. How much did this pandemic, like, kill that, do you think? Or is it not, has it picked up right where it left off?
It's really only killed it within my own mental, you know what I mean? Because I'm my hardest, like, critic. You know, so I'm obviously gonna look at things, like, to the worst possible thing that could ever happen. You know what I mean? And I feel like with this, we are kind of picking up where we left off. Like, obviously, you know, everyone has to rebuild. You know what I mean? Everyone is rebuilding, like, because everyone got f***ed by the thing. Like, the whole world did, you know? So everyone's rebuilding. Like, everyone is, you know, trying to get themselves to, like, you know, really stand out. And I think this was just the perfect way for me to do that.
It is crazy. The pandemic put everybody on the same level.
Yeah.
For the most part.
100%. Like, you know, everyone had to quarantine. You know, it wasn't just specific, you know, group of individuals. It was the whole freaking world, you know. Everyone got destroyed by this thing. And, you know, I'm just very thankful that I even still have, like, a career to continue to chase my dream and, like, and have that opportunity, because there are so many people who got it a lot freaking worse than I did.
Amen.
A lot worse. So I'm just extremely, extremely thankful that I'm able to keep doing what I'm doing. And, you know, that's, yeah, it's something that I recognize. Like, I'm very appreciative of just the place that I'm in.
Have you ever physically fought somebody?
No.
Would you?
I'd lose.
Would you,
I mean,
box?
My little brother, like, I've beat the shit out of him.
Oh, well, that's,
but that's
not
my
fair.
Little brother.
Yeah.
But, you know, and he wasn't, like, little guys. Like, we were, like, I was, you know, 18, he was 16. So that's a fair, like, fight.
Yeah.
Anyway, doesn't matter.
Would you box somebody?
I mean, I'd box somebody, but I'd probably get my bell rung, dude. I'm like, I'm just not a fighter. I'd be in the ring, be like, can we, like, talk? Like, let's just go, like, hang out, bro. Like, let's just go smoke or something. Like, you know, I just don't have that mindset. I'm just not a fighter.
Got it.
Yeah. So, I mean, if you want to fight me, you'll win. I'll do it for a check. I'll get knocked out for a check.
Yeah, that's what I'm wondering.
Straight up. Oh, my God. Yeah. What do you mean? Like, that's what everyone's doing.
How much would you have to get paid? What do you think?
I'll do it for $500 at this point.
Like, well, I'll negotiate on your behalf.
Yeah.
You will not.
Okay. I would do it for
$500.
Yeah, I don't know, dude. I'd do it for $50,000. If someone was going to give me $50,000 to get knocked the fuck out,
wow.
Yeah, sign me up tenfold.
For real.
You can knock me out, lift me back up, knock me out again. As long as I get, but I'd want, like, one of the big checks, you know, like. Like, you know, and they hand it to me.
Yeah,
like that.
Like
I would
publisher wanna, clearing out.
Yeah, like I'd want it to be like a whole, like, event, like, you know, thing.
Maybe, like,
I just want that big check card. Like, I've always wanted that. I think it's so cool.
Make sure you get paid before the fight because those guys aren't getting paid.
Bro, yeah, that's hilarious. But it's like everyone saw it coming. Like, dude.
It's all a scam.
It's all a scam. Like, are you serious?
Yeah.
Like, come on. It's major money moves and I'm here for it. Because I paid for the pay-per-view. Hell yeah, I'll pay for it again.
Bryce was on here talking about how he was getting $5 million. I was like, hell yeah, sweet. Win or lose, you get $5 million.
Dude, and he said that number. I was like, where's his money coming from?
He got nothing.
He didn't get
What a joke. The whole thing's a joke.
It was exciting. We had a little shindig for it, you know. And did like you? I said before, I'll pay the pay-per-view again and again because it's great.
I love it. Like, it was very entertaining.
What I loved the Logan Mayweather fight. That whole thing was awesome. But I love Logan. Like, that's like he's great.
I really wanted to see them fight though. Whatever.
Listen, I am so excited for Jake and Tyron Woodley.
Woodley. That's gonna be fire.
That's gonna be awesome.
I just want Jake to box a boxer.
I think he's working his way up. I think Jake knows what he's doing. He's super smart.
He is. His whole team, it's crazy the way that they, you know, go about all of this. Like, it's all pre-planned, which nobody knows, you know what I mean? But, like, they are geniuses with this. It's crazy.
John Shahidi is very good. He's I think, Logan and Jake's manager, and he's rather genius. And I think he also, like, has a hand in the Mayweather camp, so... it's all finely and intricately planned and very strategic.
It's a beautiful thing to watch unfold and entertaining.
And they can put on a show.
Yeah,
they can put on one hell of a show, those Paul brothers.
You know who else can put on a show? Eben.
Dandelions.
I can.
There's a link to listen and watch Dandelions in the description below. We appreciate you hanging out, man.
Bro, it's so good to be back. I missed you guys.
Dude,
last time we had to see you over Zoom.
I know.
For Honeydew, that's right.
Mm-hmm. Your little pink spaceship that you were in.
Oh, that, yeah. Gotta love it.
Yeah.
Good times. But we're back.
We're back.
We're back and better than ever.
Yeah, thank you for being here. Are you
going
to go on tour?
Yes. still figuring that one out. But, yes, definitely going to go on tour. Hopefully, by the end of this year.
Sick.
There's some, I'm going to leave it at that.
Eben, everybody.
Woo! Love you guys. Thank y'all for having me.
Hey, beautiful human, thanks for joining our conversation with Eben. Make sure you listen to his new project, Dandelions. Subscribe to this podcast and share it with those you care about. Also, let me know who we should interview next at Zach Seng Show on any form of social media. Please be safe, hug your family if you can, don't go to jail, and have an amazing, amazing day. I'll talk to you soon. Peace and love.